Tom, anybody say anything?
Jeremiah chapter 29, that's where we're at, we're at verse 10. We're going to go down through verse 14. Hear the words of the Lord through Jeremiah. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Isn't God good? All the time. And all the time? Some of y'all know that. Some of you need to learn that. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Good. You've got to learn that. Because if you don't know God is good, what good do you got? That's right. Our prophet Jeremiah talks about the Babylonian captivity. I want to give you a little bit of background, and then we're going to move into application and how this works. Jeremiah talked about the Babylonian captivity that was going to happen. It was a foretelling of what was going to happen to them. They were currently in Israel, in the place where they were from. And for 70 years, he prophesied that they would be taken away, captive, and it happened by the Babylonians. Now, if you all remember the history there, or if you do not, they didn't like being taken away from their home. I don't think any of us do. But what happened is during that time is they became very, if you will, destitute, scared, lonely, and afraid. Some of the captivity was different for Judah, different lengths of captivity. But what I want to share with you is that Jeremiah gives a promise. And you're going to hear me say this idea very often. And that is that God makes a promise to us that He gives us the condition on how it will be fulfilled. And He tells us how it will happen, when it will happen, and how you'll know it's happening. And He tells them that you will return. Not only that, but you will return with double what you left with. I will double the blessing. If you remember the story of Job, and Job had all the problem. At the very end, he lost his family, his land, everything. It says the Lord gave Job double for his trouble. And God says, when you are in captivity, that He has pulled you out of because of our own disobedience, out of our comfort zone, He's going to return us after we've learned that He is our source. Now, the important section to me in Jeremiah in this passage is where God says, you will find me. Some of us have been looking for God for a long time. Some of us have wondered who God is. Who is this God? How do I experience a real God for me? There are ways you can experience God and know that He is blessing you and that you are truly His child. And He says, when my blessings begin to come out in your life, answered prayer, and things like this, you will know that I am fulfilling my promise to you. And God only fulfills a promise to His people. And He says, you will find me when you look for me with all your heart. If you remember the Beatitude, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall find what they're looking for. Well, if you really want to find God, you really want to know who God is, He's knowable. But you have to want God more than anything else. You see, what happened with them is God was not their priority. And God said, I'm taking you out of your comfort zone into captivity. And all of a sudden, all they could think about was God. God, where are you? God, why are you? God is here. What did we do wrong? And they began self-examination. And if you begin to do some self-examination, you'll begin to see the principle at work that God's trying to do is say, God, what do I need to change about me? How can I change? What can I let you do inside of me that I can't do for myself? How can you help me? As you learn some of my history, for 3 years while in Mississippi, I was an addictions counselor, residential. You talk about some folks with some struggles. Those folks have struggles because they have a physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and organic illness, disease. And what that means is they will always have it, and it will always get worse. I could tell you some horror stories, but some of you might know them already. Some of you might have experienced some people who have had those problems. Matter of fact, in the state of Mississippi, they have what's called a tax on alcohol. 3% of all the alcohol they sell is a tax. And it goes directly to rehab programs. So they're paying for their own recovery. Wouldn't that be interesting that we would invest in our own sickness and how we get well? But we don't do that. We don't think about it. What I want to share with you, and why I share this with you, is that in addiction and all of our physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, there is only one solution that works. People have tried different things, but it's having a relationship with God. Without it, they cannot have long-term recovery. They cannot defeat it without a relationship spiritually based, practiced daily with God. Now, if they need it, and they're not healthy, but are sick, what about us who are healthy or who don't have an addiction, but we just live our lives from day to day? Do we need that? Is God only for sick people? Well, you know, Scripture tells us that sin is a sickness. Did you know that? It is. That sin can separate us from the healing, restoring touch of Jesus Christ. But the Scripture also tells us that where our sin increased, His grace went further. And that every time we've gone further away from God, He's reached further than we went to find us. Psalm 139 says, I will find you no matter where you are. He says, if I lay down in the depths of hell, if I go to the deepest ocean, the highest sea, or the highest mountain, God is there already. I cannot hide from God because His grace is keeping us. He's not like Santa Claus, watching over you whether you're good or bad to see if you've been good. God is watching over you to love you, to embrace you, to honor you, and to bring you and restore you to Himself. Even Jesus Christ had that task for us. Scripture tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. And if Christ was willing to die for that, then it's pretty important for us too, isn't it? So let me share with you what's happening in Jeremiah, and also the same prophecy happened in Deuteronomy 30. It says when you're gone from where you're from, if God has removed you from your comfort zone, or if you have removed yourself because of guilt, shame, or other reason, away from where you know you've been blessed, God says, I will find you if you will keep my command, and there is just one command, and that is to love one another as He has loved you. And if you keep that command, God will bring you back and multiply you greater than any blessing anyone ever has had before you in your lineage. Does anybody want all God has for you? Anybody? Just me. Okay. I'm going with the hand up. Six of us. Eight of us. Some of us want that. Do you know, if you're in God's prosperity and blessing, that you can really find hope. Did you know that? And you can find healing and restoration, and broken homes can be restored. Did you know that? God's blessing is what causes that. It's an exciting thing when you begin to see your captivity broken. I didn't think about this at all, but when I went to Mississippi, I don't know about y'all, but when in Illinois, where I was from, we didn't like Mississippi. We didn't like it at all. No, as a matter of fact, when I went to Memphis one time to visit a friend in the hospital, I drove across the border into Mississippi and back, so I'm never going back. Then I did a trial sermon down there, and they wanted me to come, and I said, I'm not coming back to this state. Y'all look funny, talk funny, and act funny. And wouldn't you know, God took me there from where I'd been, and now I see that it was like a land of captivity, but God said, I'll even prosper you there. I'll preserve you. And then when He brings us back and restores us, He doubles it so that it's not like it was before. So when you come home, it's better. Now the thing that I want to share with you and what the Lord has put on my heart is that God has come to visit you now and He wants to bless you. He wants to restore broken homes. He wants to heal broken lives. He wants to mend fences between neighbors. He wants to establish love in your life. His love. He wants to do that, and He wants you to find Him. But He wants you first to seek Him. And I've invited you through this message and myself that we would grow together to learn what God wants for each of us. That we would grow in faith together. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I have all the answers. But I will tell you this, that I can point you the way to where it is. And I'll walk with you along the way. I'm glad to do that. And I plan to get to know you. I plan to be in your homes, to know your struggles and your hurts and your joys and your celebrations. But we've got to both be a part of that. Now you have to invest in that as well. Now, I'm not afraid to get to know you. As a matter of fact, I'm not afraid for you to get to know me. I'll take my coat off, you know. You say make myself feel at home, I'm going to kick my shoes off and throw stuff around. Just makes it more comfortable looking. But what I'm trying to say is, this is about our relationship with God. Jesus Christ is fundamental for us. And if that is what is key for you, and you need some help in that area, don't be afraid to say, preacher, I'm working on that, or I really don't understand this verse, or can we learn this together? Whatever you need, don't be afraid to mention it. There's a statement we say down in Mississippi. It is, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Just stupid people asking questions. Y'all heard that one before? No? That's not mine. If you didn't like that, forgive me. But I want to share with you that Jeremiah struggles with us. And if we've found in our lives that we have patterns of sin that we can't break, maybe it's an addiction for us. I'm not afraid to talk to you about that. I'm not afraid to let you know that you're still loved. That you have not gotten too far outside of God's grace. I've seen too many people's lives change. I'm a witness to that. I've seen countless people come through my office in the addiction center, and I've helped them restore their life. God can do that for you. God can do that for your family members who have the same problems. I'm not afraid to get down in the dirt with them and talk to them about the issues. Okay? Another thing that Jeremiah tells us, and this is this, that we may be frustrated by our own sin and failures, but God is not. Christ says, my grace is sufficient for you. The devil's going to tell you, you can't come back. That you have to do something to come back, and God said, the door is wide open. It's very simple when we take communion in just a moment and receive the elements, that God simply says you have to come with a clean heart. And it doesn't mean you got to go do something. It means simply, Lord, receive me as I am. In other words, be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. This is who I am. I need this. God, I need this body and blood. I don't feel worthy. Make me worthy. That's all you have to do if you don't feel worthy of it. To let God know you rely on Him. And that's what we're all about together, is learning to rely on one another, on God, and growing that way. Does that make sense? Is that doable? You ever see that movie with Sean Connery and called, what's that thing where they do the skyscraper thing? I can't remember the name of it now. I wasn't planning on saying this. Well, anyway. No, not the Tower Inferno.
Mercy.
Mercy. No.
Relying. Community is relying on one another.
It is. Well, anyway, they had to do a task and they had to plan for it within 12 hours. And Entrapment, that was the name of it. And she asked him if it was possible, you know, to do this. He said, if I was given a week and to plan and to get the equipment, it would be possible. And she said, well, we have to do it tomorrow evening at midnight, no other time frame. And he said, that's impossible. Actually, he said, that's impossible. And she said, there's $8 billion at stake. And he says, well, that might be impossible, but doable. And that's what God tells us. We say, God, this is an impossible situation. Our lives are impossible. I can't possibly get back to you. And God said, you're right, you can't. But if you seek me with all your heart, it's doable. That's all it requires. I invite us to do that together. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace and for your love. We know that you love us completely. You always call us and restore us, renew us, and bring us life. Thank you for that. Thank you that you care for us, and thank you that you love us. As we gather here, Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. Remind us that you love us, that there's nothing that's too difficult for you. Nothing can drive us too far away that we can't be brought back. All we have to do is turn to you and say, Lord, help me. That's all it requires. Heavenly Father, when we admit we need your help, you do the rest. So help us take that first step this morning as we need to. And for those of us experiencing the great blessing and bounty now, may we take the next step and get the full fruition of your blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.